to go over what our fire will be on. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Father, your grace. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this school. We thank you for the apostle. May you keep anointing him and keep bringing him deeper in you so that we can go further. We thank you for all the students that are here present with me in class and those that are watching by internet. I bless their house. I bless their family. I bless whatever they put their hands on. We give you glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Business first. Our last exam will be on chapter 19, which we will go over tonight. I skipped a couple of chapters, but I trust you to read them on your own. But I wanted to get to chapter 19 because chapter 19 is important. It continues to carry the ongoing theme of covenant and why you should be connected, why we should be connected, why you shouldn't be an island on your own. And so it'll be on chapter 19, of course, open book. So it comes just to chapter 19, so this should be a pretty easy final exam, all right? Tonight I want to deal with chapter 19, Patterned Sons. And the author does, again, as always, an excellent job on laying out the requirements to continue legacy. Now, I'm going to read this statement because I like what the author says about legacy. And he talks about our legacy in a sense that it's not about what a father leaves or what a predecessor leaves in inheritance and wealth and in knowledge, but as in what is established that can go forward. See, a legacy means nothing if it cannot go forward. A legacy means nothing if it cannot be continued. This is why it's important that we learn and we follow, because we can absorb not only information but absorb impartation, that whenever the forefathers go on, we can continue to carry on what was started by them. So here are the requirements to continue in legacy. There are a few that the author goes over, and I think it's, let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And we'll go over those real quick. Then we'll go into the governing principles for sons to connect accurately, all right? And it's important. I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight because, not because I can't expound on it, but I want to make sure that we go over this in class, because this chapter is the reason why so many churches are failing. This chapter is the reason why so many ministers are failing. It's because a lot of times they think that for whatever reason, when God called them to preach, the commission started with them. You see? And because two reasons. The Bible talks about the people are being destroyed for the lack of knowledge, right? I think it's Hosea 4 and 6, right? Turn there. I want you to see something. I want you to see something in that particular chapter. Hosea 4 and 6. Hosea 4 and 6. Watch this. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, if a period was right there, then we can lay blame on the people. We can lay blame on the people if there was a period. But there's not a period. It's a continuation, it's a continuation. Because thou has rejected knowledge, meaning the priest has rejected knowledge. And what that means, if the priests reject knowledge, it means the people they lead are not going to get the knowledge. So it is incumbent upon us as leaders that we become pattern sons and daughters so that we can absorb what needs to be absorbed, that we can receive what needs to be received, so that we can impart it to those that are coming behind us. Because the only reason why another generation failed is because the preceding generation didn't impart anything. Does that make sense? So we have to, this is important, and this is why, another quote here, we'll get to the reading. Joseph, if you remember in first chapter of Exodus, if you read the first chapter of Exodus, it said that when Joseph died, another Pharaoh rose that didn't know Joseph. Now, wait a minute. Now, Joseph was dead, so what the new Pharaoh rise had to do with knowing Joseph? Actually, what it's saying is that he didn't know what Joseph stood for because nobody received impartation from Joseph and carried out the commission, that the mandate and the commissioning that Joseph had. Remember Joseph? Joseph was the one that caused Egypt not to go into famine by the wisdom of God. Are you seeing this? So, because the new Pharaoh rose, he became intimidated at the strength of the Israelites. And so that's why he began to put them in slavery. It wasn't because the Egyptians were such bad people. It was because the people of God was shunning knowledge. Nobody picked up what Joseph was doing. And so the Pharaoh rose and didn't know what was going on. I mean, here's a new Pharaoh, new leadership coming to power. So Pharaoh was saying, man, these people are strong. They're going, they were actually greater than us. I thought they're going to take us over. So the best thing we need to do is cut their wings. When it did not have to be, because of the wisdom of God started with Joseph that caused both nations to flourish. That's one thing about God. God is not looking to clip anybody. If we join together, everybody can flourish. There's enough for everybody. Are you seeing this? So, in saying that, becoming pattern sons and daughters is important. Watch this. The pattern sons must have power to contain the legacy of their fathers. The basic requirement to fulfill if sons want to become pattern sons are that, here we go, one, they have the power to continue in what they have received. All right? Number two, that they have the power to finish strong in pursuing destiny. That they have the power to fulfill the purpose of their assignment. This is number four. The fourth one is very important. That they have power to maintain and multiply the needed resources to finish their assignment. And that's the number one killer in most ministries. That's the number one killer in most ministries. Never having enough resources to do what God has called them to do. And God made provision for that. Go to Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. There's the main scripture. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter and the 18th verse. Watch this. This is why we talk about sowing so much. Because it's not going to be by our intelligence. It's not going to be by our work ethic. God did not design increase to come by how hard you work. Listen to me a minute. God didn't design your increase to come by how smart you are. Because if that's the case, I'd be left out. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So don't laugh too loud. So what I'm saying is... What I'm saying is, it's not based on your ability. All right? So when God calls you to do something, God is well able to finance what He's called you to do. But I love the way Dr. Thomas said, there's a prescribed order of how God wants to do it. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. Watch this. So we're talking about power now. We're talking about power. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter and the 18th verse. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He that giveth thee what? Power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now, I'm trying to remember the most powerful definition, the most clearest definition I've ever heard about the word power, is the ability to complete a task despite all opposition. All right? So, this particular scripture is saying God has given us the ability to complete the task given despite all obstacles, all things kind of getting our way. Are you seeing that? So here it is. Once again, they have the power or the ability to complete the task or the ability to continue in what they have received despite all obstacles. they have the ability to finish strong in pursuing destiny despite all obstacles. They have the power to fulfill the ability to fulfill the purpose of their assignment despite all obstacles. They have the ability to maintain and multiply the needed resources to finish their assignment despite all obstacles. They have the power to endure the course of destiny without distraction or aborting the destiny. They have the power to prevail over every limitation and restriction to accelerate towards the goal of the destiny. They have the power to gather others, to synergize movements, and gather momentum towards the destiny. Now, this is talking about Father and Son. Not talking about the Father. So this is, that last one is very important. They have the power to gather others, to synergize movement, and gather momentum towards the destiny. How does that happen? That happens because when you begin to exemplify the results, what you're receiving, when I say exemplify, it begins to show on the outside what you're receiving on the inside. When that happens, people see you must be doing something different than what I'm doing. So I need to find out what you're doing, and that's when synergy begins to take work, or working together begins to take place. I tell you, one of the things, one of the recurring things of the master vision bearers in LTMA is that we hold ourselves accountable. We hold each other accountable that we are going to exemplify what Apostle is teaching us. Because when we exemplify, that leaves no excuses for anybody else in the organization. Nobody can say it ain't working, it doesn't work. Why? Because you got 12 men and women that it is working for. So now we're able, see, here's the thing. One thing about leadership that we have to understand is you cannot demand anybody to do anything that you're not willing to do yourself. Or this never ended. You can't demand anybody else to do something that you yourself are not willing to do. So the reason why we can stand and lead under apostles' authority in the organization is because we are exemplifying and synergizing and causing others to realize if they can do it, we can do it. Are you seeing this? Last one, these are the basic qualities and characteristic features of the new generation of pattern sons whom God is raised to continue the legacy of the forefathers. Now we're going to go into the governing principle for sons to connect accurately. See, Elisha connected accurately to Elijah. Gehazi messed up because Gehazi had another agenda. Joshua connected properly to Moses. Are you seeing this? So we see how connection is important. Watch this. Samuel connected properly to Eli. Are you seeing this? See, it goes on and on and on of properly connecting. Now, what's the purpose of properly connecting? So that legacy can be continued. See, here's, I need to change your perception of why you're connecting to somebody who is going to direct you going in. Put your personal interest on the back burner. The reason why you're connecting is so that God's agenda can be continued through you. Just think about it. Go to John the 15th chapter. John the 15th chapter. Watch what Jesus said. Watch what Jesus said. This is important because if we can understand this concept, we can properly connect, and we can properly allow impartation to take place, and when we do get to a point to where things are going the way they're supposed to be going, we won't forget why it's going the way it's going. That's the number one error of most ministers that make it to the next level in their ministry, is they forget what got them to the next level. John, the 15th chapter. Let's start at verse 4. Well, no, let's start at verse 1. Let's start at verse 1 because that's where we don't want to get to. Jesus talked. He said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. means of the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide where? In the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So here it is. Watch this now. Jesus saying, he's the true vine, we are the branches. We abide in him, he in us. When we abide in him, we're going to produce the same fruit that he produces. Alright? Now here's my question. We can equate it to the sap that's in a tree. The sap in a tree is the thing that carries the nutrients throughout the tree, to the leaves, through the bark, and from the root up to the bark and to the leaves. Alright? Now, here it is. We are just branches, right? We're branches, meaning that we are contained. All branches are an extension of the root. All a branch does is contain what the fruit wants to put out. Are you seeing this? Now, my question, here's a good question. Here's my question. Is it possible, and it's not a good question, but only think, because it'll cause you to think. Is it possible for the sap to flow through the branches without the branches getting residue on it? It's not possible. If water goes through a hose pipe, is that hose pipe going to be drowned inside or wet? Wet. So my point is, it is unfruitful and is meaningless for you to focus on what you want. Because if I do what God is asking me to do, and I produce the fruit he wants me to produce, then I'm going to have residue of what was flowing through me to get the fruit done that's going to benefit me. See, Jesus, God had this thing mapped out perfectly. Matthew 6:18, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. So the real reason for connecting is to advance the agenda and mandate in kingdom of God. When you prioritize that properly and correct, everything else will fall in its place. Because now, God is now responsible for you. God is now responsible to take care of what you, that's covenant. That's what covenant is. God now becomes responsible. God's strength now becomes your strength. When we prioritize properly. Are you seeing this? So here are the governing principles for sons to connect actors. Number one, sons receive an impacting experience of the future. Now that's powerful. Because you're connected to somebody that has experience with God, and because somebody is flowing at a deeper dimension of God than you are able to experience your future in the now. How would that happen? The things that happen to who you're connected to is only prophesying your future. Are you seeing this? Watch this. Every miracle Elijah performed, Elijah just said, wow. This is what I'm training to do? Are you seeing this? Everything that Moses did, Joshua was seeing what he was doing in the now. Everything that Elijah was doing, every miracle he performed, everything he did, Elijah was looking at. That's why Elijah had the courage to take that mantle and smoke that water and cross back over. Why? Because he had just seen Elijah do it. So just that quick moment, Elijah was prophesying to Elijah's future. Are you seeing it? So watch this. He says, sons receive an impacting experience. Never discount your experiences with God. Never discount your experiences. Why? Experiences create confidence. What's the old statement? If he did it for me before, he can do it again. Are you seeing this? That's because you're speaking from experience. So sons receive an impacting experience of the future. Number two. Sons pursue the man prioritizing the relationship. Watch this. Prodigal sons are unique because they have kingdom values in their heart. They know how to honor what God has begun in their lives of model fathers with their pattern sons. Elijah, we rehearsed some things. Elijah fell in love with Elijah. He didn't fall in love with the miracles of Elijah. He didn't fall in love with the power of Elijah. He fell in love with Elijah, which opened the door for Elijah to open himself up more so he can really see with 20/20 vision why Elijah walked in the power that he walked in. Are you seeing this? Otherwise, you see, you're not going to open yourself up to anybody you don't trust. You're not. You're not going to open yourself up to anybody and you don't really know their motives. Are they genuinely concerned about me? You see, will they look out for me? Elijah knew that Elisha would look out for him. So therefore, his heart was opened up towards Elijah, and Elijah began to see things that normal men. There were other prophets. Even with Elisha, there were other prophets that could think. Some of them stayed on the other side of the river or whatever they crossed. Had some stay on the other side. But Elijah said, I'm going to cross with you. You ain't leaving me, I'm going wherever you go. Because I want to be with you. Is that making sense? Elijah put this relationship above the natural relationship of his own father and mother. Is that amazing? Now watch this. Go to John, the first chapter. This scripture is very important because in today's society, because of society is decaying, and because of society now, there are a lot of people that didn't have a fully structured family home or a home with a mother and a father in it or whatever, or the father might not have been the best, or the mother might not have been the best. And so sometimes things can be rough. Things can be tough. But I'll never forget the Holy Spirit showed me the scripture years ago in 1 John, in John 1, I think it's verse 13, I think it is. Yeah, there it is. Let's start at verse 12. Because this scripture, when we break it down properly, this scripture would give us, it would eliminate illegitimacy. It would eliminate any thought of bastardness. It would eliminate any of those ideas. Because if you're breathing, if you're here, you're not here by accident. God, everybody that's breathing and living, God has ordained them to be here. And God has a plan for them. All right, watch this. In John, the first chapter, and the 12th verse. But as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gave them power. Gave he power. Or the ability to become a son of God despite all opposition. All right? To become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now watch this. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So that means right there that whatever background we have that didn't help contribute to our future in a positive way, we can bypass that and get directly connected back to our spiritual lineage. Are you seeing this? That's just the word born again. Born again. I'm getting back connected to my original plan. So here it is. It began to talk about Elijah began to look past his natural limitations. But according to his mother and his father, he wasn't supposed to be doing all what he was doing. But because he decided to take Elijah's relationship to the next level and go beyond his natural relationship limitations, he was able to complete the agenda of God. This is important Because we all have family members, not necessarily mothers and fathers, but we all have family members that will try to discourage us from what we know is real for us. And you have to be willing to sacrifice that relationship in order to go deeper in God. See, are you seeing this? Jesus done it over and over again. It was even his own mother and father. I mean, Jesus was sitting in the synagogue, they had left and went calling off, and they realized they didn't have Jesus. So they went back looking for Jesus. Jesus said, it's time for me to be about my father's business. And at that point, Mary understood what he was talking about. Are you seeing this? So you have to become to a point to where you're independent of natural, watch this, this is what I'm saying now, natural relationships controlling your spiritual relationship. Are you saying this? So you have to pursue the man prioritizing. When I say man, it's talking about connection, the person you're following, you have to pursue that person. Next one. Here's a good one. Sons willingly bring their life under subjection. Elijah needed to give his life to serve Elijah because that was God's revealed will and plan. He made the willing choice to subject his life for instruction, importation, and for accountability. Are you seeing that? I want you to underline those three. He made the willing choice to subject his life. I need you to underline this because you're going to see this again. He made the willing choice to subject his life for what? Instruction, importation, and for accountability. He chose to align his life to Elijah's lifestyle and schedule. Oh my goodness. Many times, I rearrange my schedule and my plans when a father calls. Why? Because I'm a believer in the Word of God. I'm a believer in it. I'm a total believer in it. God, Galatians 6:7, one of my favorite scriptures. God is not mocked. I quote it all the time. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So watch this. Whenever I have to readjust my schedule, something that I want to do, I have a spirit of sacrifice. I rearrange it and go and do it. That's me planting a seed. So now God always happens. God shows up somewhere else at some point in my life and make whatever experience that I missed then, he makes it up 10, 12, 100 times more better when I do get a chance to experience it. Are you seeing this? See, this is important that you get this because a lot of times we're not willing to adjust our schedule. Now watch this. It's not going to mean that you're going to have to that whoever you follow is going to be a hard person. But there are sometimes, quick story. There's one of my dad's pastor friends, one of his contemporaries, was doing a meeting in one city. And they were actually going to study the city because we think about establishing the church. He had to minister in one city and he was going to do it the next week. But then the Spirit impressed him to stay one more day in that particular city and fly out the next day. Well, the gentleman that was with him, wedding anniversary was the next day. And so he was like, I need to get back. Well, when he got on that plane to fly back, that plane crashed and he died. Never had the anniversary. But the Spirit of God had been speaking to who he was connected to stay over one more day. It could have been the next day the Holy Spirit said, I don't worry about going to see that. Just change. And it pushed him on another foot. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So whenever you're being summoned and you're following somebody, you must be careful and realize there must be something to this. I must change my schedule. Are you seeing this? They must bring their lives in a line and choose a line of life to Elijah's lifestyle and schedule. Watch this. In your book, there's four things that he aligned. He aligned to the message. He aligned his lifestyle to speak about Jesus. Aligned his lifestyle to speak what the Father was speaking and revealing. Are you seeing this? He'll line to his actions. He'll line his actions to do what the Father was doing. That goes back to what we talked about last class. How the Father's mandate and commissioning is what governs our assignment. You remember that? The mandate and commissioning is what governs our assignment. Aligned to nature, his character and personality was to reveal who the Father is. Aligned to purpose, he came for a purpose to reveal his Father to mankind. And this is Jesus. This is Jesus now. Jesus done all those things and reaped the benefit. He got up with all power in his hand. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father right now. Are you seeing this? See, those alignments, being willing, sometimes you have to align what you believe to who you're following. Once again, I said this again. If you can't trust the person you're following, it's time to move on. If the person you're following can't get revelation that you can't get, I'm going to say it again. If the person you're following can't get revelation, more revelation than you, then you need to move on. Because if that's the case, then you should be leaving, not them. So sometimes there's going to come insight, doctrine, and revelation that you're going to have to align yourself to. I know for a lot of people, when Dr. Thompson began to talk about money coming, it was a major aligning had to come about. Because all before the church, nobody ever talked about money. They never talked about sowing, never talked about receiving. Money was a subject of a taboo subject in the church. You know, money was evil in the church. So therefore, some people had to align themselves. They had to break up some of the old religious trust they had and bring themselves into alignment. Are you seeing this? Number four, sons sow all now to reap the future. Galatians 6:7. Watch this. In Mark, the first chapter, the 17th verse, Jesus talking. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Talking about Peter them. In other words, they forsook all and said, "We're going to follow this man." Now, what was amazing about this is Jesus showed them how to do their profession even better than they knew how to do, and they were professors. He could fill them fish up, fill that boat up with fish, and Peter said, "Lord, I'm simple. I need you to get around me. Lord, I can't hang around you." He said, "Nah, come on, and I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men." Are you seeing this? See, when you sow in the present, Dr. Thompson says it perfectly. Whenever you sow money, whatever it is, in this present moment, you're prophesying to your future. You're prophesying to your future. So there is nothing that is there's nothing that's too much for me to sow in the present moment that God won't allow me to reap in the future. Elisha sold his life in serving Elijah, who had a single portion. And Elijah turned around and looked at him when he leaves and said, "What you want?" He said, "I want a double." Elijah said, "You got it." So he sold all in the present moment to receive the double in the future. How many see that? Finally, sons learn the nature of the Father's primary assignment. Pattern sons learn to pursue the Father without distraction, as they know that this is the pursuit of destiny. Elijah began to learn Elijah so much that he knew what would affect Elijah and what wouldn't. See, so here's the thing. when you are, when you have a singleness of mind with who you're connected to, when you have a singleness of heart, when you have a singleness of purpose, that means your agenda has become their agenda and their agenda has become your agenda. You see, vice versa, we've merged, we've come together. So now I'm not going to come around and begin to ask questions for personal gain. If I know, because watch this, if you've been following somebody, or not even following somebody, if you've been in a relationship with somebody long enough, you already know what's going to affect them. So a lot of times, certain questions are answered before you even ask. Are you seeing this? So watch this. Because we find a lot of times, you find a lot of times that when people connect to somebody, or they come in a relationship with somebody, and they still have some of their agenda and motives, underlying motives around, they begin to try to ask questions on how to get what they need out of the relationship instead of asking questions that would advance the relationship. See, Elijah knew what it took to take care of Elijah. He was serving, so he knew what it took. Why? Simply by being there, by being around, by observing, by receiving the impartation, receiving the information, receiving whatever Elijah was putting out, he was receiving, so he was able to, in turn, reciprocate and show how and serve in a way that pushed everybody forward. I heard Dr. Forbes' mother passed, and we went to her funeral, and his uncle preached a message. And in the message, he began to talk about leadership. And he said, it is very hard for a leader to lead if nobody wants to follow. It's impossible to accomplish an agenda. It's impossible for a leader to accomplish an agenda if nobody wants to follow. You see it? So the leader is important, but the followers are just as important. If everybody plays a role, that means everybody moves forward and gets blessed. Same thing happened in Egypt. We talked about it earlier. When God gave Joseph the wisdom on what to do, when he interpreted that dream, and he had the wisdom on what to do, Pharaoh immediately, who was the leader, immediately said, he's the man with the plan. We're going to back him up and push his plan. So what happened? All of Egypt and all of Israel were prosperous. Are you seeing this? So when it comes to a community, when it comes to connecting, you have to put yourself in a position to being able to advance the agenda. Are you seeing this? So sons learn the nature of the father, their agenda. What makes them tick? What makes them move? What angers them? Watch this now. Let me talk about covenant. Covenant is an elimination of weaknesses. Your strength cover their weaknesses, and their strength cover your weaknesses, so everybody is strong. So if who I'm following, something angers them, then remember that they're human. If something angers them, then I'm going to do everything I can not to do what it calls for them to be angered, because when they're angry, they don't clear, they're not thinking straight. When they ain't thinking straight, they hear from God straight. So now everybody's held back. Is that making sense? Because once again, it's not about me. It's not about the leader. It's about God's agenda. So I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize the relationship. I want to know what makes the father tick. What makes the leader tick? What makes them tick? What makes them move? What makes them move forward? What causes them? What hinders them? You see what I'm saying? Great example. Moses. Coming off the mount with the law of God. Some of the people with them go there and destroy the once again, he got frustrated again. And God told him, speak to the rock. And he struck the rock. Frustration. The people were frustrating him because they weren't really concerned about Moses and what God was saying through him. Are you seeing this? So you have to learn your leader. Learn what makes them tick. Learn why God anointed this person the way he anointed them? What price did they pay? What did they do? What God, what you see in them? Watch this now. You only not only have a right to ask God what he saw in them, but you, I'm going to close on this, you have a right to ask God, God, what do you see in me that you would call me to serve them? Because it was something God saw in you. Because see, once again, serving is about getting the kingdom agenda advanced and also impartation taking place so that legacy can continue. Are you seeing this? So once again, let's go over them again. We're going to close this. Remember, our final exam is on this chapter, chapter 19. One, sons receive an impacting experience of the future. Sons pursue the man, prioritizing their relationship. Sons willingly bring their lives under subjection. Notice the word willingly. They're not forced. Willingly. Not forced. Willingly. That's one of the things about an L teammate. We willingly submit ourselves to the apostle. Not forced. We're willingly. We willingly do it. There's a difference. It's a major difference. You know, herding sheep is a whole lot easier than herding cows. Sheep are willing to follow. Cows just want to escape what they think is fear. What they think is fear, but they want to escape pressure. So you got to kind of put cows into the pen. Sheep, you just lead them in. There's a difference. Sheep are willing. Cows got the force. Are you seeing this? So therefore, when you're willing, it's easier for the agenda to be pushed forward. So they willingly subject them, willingly bring their lives under subjection. B, sons sow all now to reap the future. And finally, sons learn the nature of the father's primary assignment. You all have a good night and have a good week, and I'll see y'all at graduation. All right. Again, Captain, graduate start at 7. Yeah, 7 o'clock, what, May 8th? Yeah, May 8th, 7 o'clock.